Hello, I'm Mike Swinson, and welcome to the sound file on the tracks around Chauncey Vale Wildlife Sanctuary. Let's start this story at the small gate that's on the road that leads into the sanctuary, just past the recreation buildings. Oh, by the way, there are toilets at the Interpretation Centre and another one just here, near the little gate. Here's Heather Chauncey waiting for us at the gate.
This is where the wildlife sanctuary originally started. It was 1,000 acres of land we bought in the early 1940s from Charles Hand. It had been a whole lot of small properties. And my parents wanted it declared as a wildlife sanctuary. My father came from Europe and was very concerned that the bush and wildlife was being completely denuded from the Midlands, and he felt we would need the seeds, the wildlife, we might need some of the trees in future. So he wanted this declared as a wildlife sanctuary at that time. It's an interesting area to preserve as a wildlife sanctuary because you have completely different formations on each side of the valley. The east, northeast side is mostly big rock screes, which are probably glacially dumped, and I believe the rock scree is still moving a little. And the opposite side is all sandstone, mudstone, with totally different types of flora and fauna on it. So as we go up the track, you can look at both sides and see the difference as you look across in the types of things you will see and the plants and the animals and birds you will see.
The first interesting spot to visit on the track to the caves is called the Hutchins site. You can reach it by walking along the creek track and then heading up the hill towards the caves. There isn't a lot to see, but there is a substantial cairn that's been erected there to record the names of those boys from the Hutchins School in Hobart who built a log cabin there many years ago. Heather will tell you about the history of the site. From the Hutchins site, the track to the caves winds its way slowly up the hill over a small bridge, and there, just as you need a breather, is a seat that looks out towards Baghdad and the valley beyond. But first, here's Heather.
This is the site of the Hutchins School's first outdoor education area. It was the first outdoor education experiment in Australia. Hutchins had a very innovative head at that time, Radford, who was very keen on boys learning about the bush, about wildlife and this sort of thing. And he had a young teacher, Gordon Jones, who had come in from Victoria. I think it was his first teaching experience. What they did was to build a really big hut. It would sleep 18 of them. It had a fireplace each end. They constructed the building basically down at the school in their workshops there. It was quite a good engineering work for them to learn how to do that. Prefabbed the main bearers on the outside, brought it up here on a lorry in sections over the weekends. They would come up on a Friday night after school, arriving after dark. Most of this happened in the second and third term of the year, so that really, you know, it was winter time, autumn, winter, when they were doing it. And when they would come up, the boys, they would load the lorry with the sections of building material and other stuff, then all their camping equipment, because of course they had to camp overnight, they would stay until Sunday night, then all the boys' packs and the boys sitting on top. You can just imagine these days this happening, can't you? Eventually they got established their own big outdoor education place down south. I think it's out somewhere down near Dover. So it's a long way south, and they stopped using this, and a bushfire took out the hut. But for the 50 years celebration, the boys built the cairn and had a big bronze plaque cast with all the boys' names on it, of those who had actually taken part, and most of them came over to see that. Standing here at the cairn, you can see bricks oblongs each end. That's where the fireplaces were. There was one at each end, and you've got little stone areas around the edge of the width of the hut, The second layer of line of stones there was where they had a little veranda coming out from it. They had bunks, double-layered bunks on each side all the way down. Once the hut was built, they would come up, usually more on a Saturday, Sunday, they'd probably only spend one night in it, and do bushwalking. You always knew if the headmaster Radford was up with them, every single stone and twig in the place was turned upside down. I think he was very keen on beetles and bugs and things. He liked to look at things of that sort, and they would learn to walk about in the bush and climb the caves, just generally to get some bush experience. Yes, if you look across from here to the slope opposite, that's the scree slope, and that's stringy barks mainly, and small shrubby plants. Down in the valley you've got Viminalis, you've got, and then on this other slope to the left, you've got your main more wattles, then you've got black wattles, and then you've got various sorts of peppermint. So that you do have quite a big difference because the soil is different on the two sides of the valley. And if you look at the rocks, they are also different. There are those big blue solid ones that side, and this side's all sandstone and shale and things.
From here you wind your way slowly uphill, crossing that small creek we mentioned earlier, as you head towards the first of the caves. The next sound file to either download or listen to is number 3, The Caves.